Welcome to Win with Richardson & Richardson. What's important now? Success in business most often comes down to hard work, not by silver bullets and quick fixes. It's knowing where to focus that hard work that's key to winning. Join sales prospecting expert and three-time seven-figure business founder Carrie Richardson and managing partner of R&R Consulting and former owner of Doberman Technologies, Ian Richardson, for radical honesty regarding strategic planning, accountability, and execution that will get you the systematic results you're working toward. Let's get into today's episode. Thought leader and your host, Carrie Richardson.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Carrie Richardson. I am a partner at Richardson & Richardson, and today I am your host for Win What's Important Now. With me today is Matt Quammen, who is the founder of Optimize Cyber. Matt, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Carrie. I'm going to have to switch that up to co-founder just to pay some respect to my co-founder, but nice to be with you.
Very nice. And what is the name of your co-founder, please?
My co-founder, Stefan Dorn, one of the best ethical hackers in the world.
Tell me a little bit about how Optimize Cyber came to be. There's two of you. One is one of the best ethical hackers in the world. And what do you bring to the table?
Pretty much all the boring stuff that we don't want the talented folks wasting their time with. I keep our books. I'm the finance side of the house. I run all our go-to-market and partnerships and sales. In a startup, you're always wearing 100 hats. So invoices, expenses, receipts, checks, bank accounts, driving to the PO box.
That sounds really exciting, Matt.
Yes, it's glamorous.
You definitely started a business to drive to the PO box.
Oh, it's the best part of my week.
Tell me a little bit about how you came to start.
Absolutely. I've been in technology the last 14 years. 8 years ago, I started in security and fell in love with it immediately. Growing up, my dad had an HVAC company in small town Minnesota. Technology wasn't a big part of their business in 1991. To me, cybersecurity is not about technology. Cybersecurity is about protecting businesses and helping business owners like my dad avoid financial losses. And when I learned that's what my job was, when I got into security, I fell in love with it overnight. It's the most fun topic at almost every happy hour or gathering or neighborhood, talking to a neighbor. Everyone now has a story about financial losses, cyber attacks, and has questions about it. I don't come from a technical background, but I've learned a lot from some very smart people that I'm able to share just practical solutions with my neighbors and anyone I meet on how better to secure their business so that they can continue to operate safely and grow.
Once upon a time, I was one of those people that used the same password for everything. I went to I can't remember the name of the vendor, but I do remember that Kid Rock was playing and it was in Las Vegas. And I met a couple of Department of Defense security guys who had a little bit to drink, and they walked me through how they would sell my house without me participating in any way at all. And I left the party and I went up to my hotel room and I changed the passwords on everything. And ever since, I have been far more concerned with security practices.
Yeah, unfortunately, those are true stories. And this is new to all of us. When I started in technology 14 years ago, it was largely not a conversation. Security was very much an afterthought. All of us have learned the hard way, right? Small businesses, Fortune 500s, Fortune 100s, they've all learned the hard way. That's what's also fun about cybersecurity is it's a dynamically changing field because we're all learning on the fly and we're all catching up to the bad guys and trying to help business owners prevent financial losses or help people like Carrie in a Vegas casino avoid personal losses as well.
I didn't have that many personal losses that trip, fortunately. So cybersecurity is a really big topic. I'd like to talk a little bit more about the business of cybersecurity and less about the technology that supports cybersecurity. Tell me a little bit about what you were doing before you founded Optimize Cyber.
So I've had a few different roles in the cybersecurity space, some on the what we call MDR providers, where 24/7, a technology company, a combination of technology and humans are watching your network and looking for bad guys and stopping them. I've also been in the endpoint. I don't want to go down the technology rabbit hole, but it's a technology that prevents viruses from landing on your computer. And then I've been in the incident response space where somebody like you loses their title or wires a down payment to a house to the wrong people, or businesses have a ransomware event, or businesses wire money to the wrong people. They call incident responders to come in and find out what happened, try to stop the damage as quickly as possible, try to reverse the financial fraud if they can, and get you back up and running safely. So through that, I learned a lot about what can go wrong, and conversely was constantly thinking about if and when I got back to the proactive side, where we're on the defense side before an incident, what are some practical solutions that can help businesses avoid these types of attacks? So ultimately, after hundreds of cases in the incident response space, seeing way too many people crying about financial fraud or ransomware, I knew I had to get back onto the defense side, right? The before an incident side. And by happenstance, I had this idea in my head for a proactive defense company and met the right guy to team up with, who has the technical chops to complement my abilities very well. And it just became a very good business marriage that we developed. First things first, you form the mission and then you form the products. And then we started going to market.
So what is the mission of Optimize Cyber?
Our mission is to share cybersecurity knowledge at scale. We want every business owner to feel empowered and understand cyber risk. What that means is a lot of people lump cyber risk or cybersecurity into the bucket of IT. That's not really the case. These are made up numbers by me, so take it with a grain of salt, but for illustrative purposes, by my rough estimate, I'd say about 60% of cybersecurity is IT related, and 40% is how you operate as a business. As business owners, we do need to oversee the IT side and make sure we have the right people that are doing the right things on that side. But on the business operation side, these are very understandable processes, like how you bank, how you receive money, how you send money, how you double check that those funds are going to the right people. Financial fraud is the biggest risk. Also, insurance purchases and things of that nature are really critical in this space. By sharing with business owners and business leaders the fundamentals of cyber risk, we're able to empower them to make their operations more safe and to oversee IT security, which is more of the technical side, in a coherent way.
And is this your first attempt at entrepreneurship?
No, I mowed lawns and babysat many moons ago. As far as professional, I've had one-man LLCs before, where I've been a consultant to one or a few companies at a time. So this is really the first time we've built a brand, we've gone to market, we've gone all in on one venture in entrepreneurship.
What's the most unexpected part of being an entrepreneur?
How many forms you have to fill out just to run a business? Seriously, that's probably the biggest surprise. I don't know that there's been anything too surprising. I've been in sales management before and things like that. I thought I had a tough stomach for the ups and downs and the roller coaster that business can be, but entrepreneurship is that multiplied by two or three. So further callousing my hands and holding onto that roller coaster has been a bit of a surprise, but wouldn't trade it for the world.
And what part have you found the most challenging?
It's very difficult to get your first few clients, even though my co-founder has over two decades in cybersecurity, a ton of accolades and credentials. I have nearly a decade of experience and a lot of partners and a natural network. it is hard to get those first several customers, but once you get one dozen, the next five dozen is easier. And hopefully from there, the next 500,000 clients will be even easier for us. It's hard to go from zero to one. That's probably the hardest part, which I've never done before. I've been at early stage companies, but to go from nothing on a yellow legal pad, I still like yellow legal pads, and to name a company and get the website going and then get those first couple customers, that was a different journey for me and challenging, but also exciting and fun at the same time.
I started a joint venture 6 or 7 years ago that didn't go anywhere, and we were going through the basics, and I was getting really super frustrated with like how nitpicky he was about everything, right? The logo and the name, and I was like, just come on, we have to make money. This shit doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize at the time that he had purchased a pre-existing business. He had never had the opportunity to name a business or design the logo or do any of those things. So for him, it was a very exciting part of the business. And for me, it was drudgery. Let's go. Like, I don't care about the logo. We're going to have to change it in 5 years anyway. Just pick something that's suitable. It's a very interesting difference between someone who's already owned a business, started a business, versus that kind of initial excitement that comes from waiting for the graphic designer to send your stuff back.
Yeah, we got lucky on that front. We have a close connection who did phenomenal work on our logo. I love it. It was pretty quick and easy from that standpoint. The designer, a shout out to Tegan. She did an amazing job and it was relatively painless.
So the most interesting part so far has been growing from one to two. Or the most challenging part has been growing from one to two. What was simpler than you expected?
The mechanics of operating the business. I've run a lot of the go-to-market pieces and managed budgets on that side and made strategic decisions about where to spend marketing and event dollars. And I had always pictured that it would be much more difficult to run the operations, picking the technology we're going to use internally, picking the HR benefits and things of that nature. And again, found some really great people to help, but I found that to be much easier than I was expecting. And yeah, much, much simpler. Otherwise, probably would have done this a while ago. Obviously, there's bumps and bruises, and it's difficult to start a business from scratch, but the operational burden's not as bad as I was expecting.
Where have you seen your processes evolve for sales, operations, marketing? Where have you seen the biggest lift?
I'd say you iron out your mission, your pitch, your sales deck of who we are as a company, and then the market tells you what's important. So there was things we thought were very important that clients didn't, and things that we thought were less important that clients, I would say more than anything, just finding the niche in the market. Technology is a big world, cybersecurity is a big world. Our world within cybersecurity is a big world too. Finding that product market fit is a dynamic that constantly changes. We're not changing what we're doing. We're not changing the mission. Just how we educate new prospects has evolved over time.
Has your sales cycle changed as you've adapted to iterations and market feedback?
It's hard to tell based on we're coming up on 100 clients, but it's still law of small numbers. I would say that our pipeline, our client fit has improved a great deal as we found our niche and found our revenue drivers that we can dump gasoline in and land new prospects, new clients. The sales cycle itself hasn't changed too much, but we are reaching people earlier. So I'd say we're generating more long-term pipeline, which is really healthy for us to be able to forecast and hire full time and to manage the business safely.
So, growth trajectory wise, where do you see Optimized Cyber in 5 years?
Tough to say. Obviously, I'm biased. We're right up there with anybody else in terms of competence and in terms of the services and products we deliver on the cybersecurity front. The growth has been phenomenal thus far. And if that continued, we'd be very large in 5 years. But I got to think at some point, the growth trajectory slows down a little bit. Where will we be in 5 years? We will have a very strong consulting and product team that is producing phenomenal product and educating people about cyber risk.
Are you monitoring specific key performance indicators in different areas of your business to ensure that happens?
Yeah, revenue is number one for us, but pipeline as well, new opportunities, new partners, things like that, to measure not just week to week or month to month or day to day sales, but where the business is really trending. So we track is new opportunities, so new prospects, new companies, or new referrals from partners, and then the dollars that go along with those referrals, as well as obviously closed revenue. Those are the biggest metrics for us.
Are you an optimistic forecaster or conservative forecaster?
I'm a terrible forecaster, frankly.
So optimistic.
When I've worked for other people, I've let them tell me how to forecast things. I'm very much a percentage-based probability, and I will put my gut probability in there, and I think I'm fairly accurate with that. But if we have 10 deals that are all set to close by the end of April, I like to put a percentage in there of this one's a 20%, this one's an 80%, this one's a 50%, because nothing's done until it's signed. It helps you get the approximate value that you're expecting without having to call your shot like Babe Ruth. It's a turbulent market right now for sure. There's been layoffs. There's a lot of businesses are looking to save money, which in some ways benefits us, but in some ways can delay deals as well. The goal here is to do as well as possible and to do the best job you can. And if somebody did the best job you can and they don't sign, you got to live with that. Conversely, sometimes you do a terrible job and they do sign. You got to live with that too. But that's the fun part. And all you can control is trying to do the right thing on a day-to-day basis.
Do you follow a specific sales methodology or a strategic planning methodology?
Yes, I'd say it's cobbled together. When I started at Oracle, we trained on Medic. Metrics, economic buyer, decision maker, decision timing, identified pain, and champion. I don't systematically ask those questions, but I do try to check all those boxes and make sure that we know all the everything we can know about a deal and that we answer every question they may have. I was also trained on the pain funnel, which can be useful. Sometimes people don't want to sign up to delve into their pain. So you got to pull out of there quickly. It's a bit of a mishmash right now. And as we grow, these are things I'll have to solidify and document for other people. But we're not there yet in terms of any formal methodology.
Did you document, or is that something that you just rather push off to someone else?
I would much rather push it off to someone else. I am competent, though, if I have to do it. And I do need those notes, right? We're running high velocity right now, and I need those notes to refresh me on conversations from 3, 6, 12 weeks ago. So I like documenting useful information. I hate check the box document information, which is why I don't do it. But yeah, absolutely. I'd rather push that onto somebody else and have someone here to take those notes once that's a financially prudent decision.
So you mentioned that being able to forecast helped you predict your talent requirements. Have you got a prescriptive onboarding process already, or is it something that you're working on as a growing business?
We have it. We have it. My co-founder, luckily, has managed teams of dozens at a time, hundreds in total, offensive cybersecurity folks. By offensive, we mean before incidents and proactive in nature. So he's onboarded a lot of people and trained them up. And we have a really good plan around that. Ultimately, none of our stuff is necessarily emergency. Some people have deadlines that are end of the week or a week out, and those can be challenges to meet. But most people are shopping for their penetration test, their risk assessment months in advance. We're able to fill up the calendar for the capacity we have now, and then as we need more capacity, hire and train more capacity without necessarily throwing them into the fire on day one. They'll have weeks to ramp up and train.
What type of employee is the most difficult to onboard and manage? It sounds like you guys do really well with technical assets. How are the fluffier roles within the organization?
We haven't hired any fluff yet, so I'll come back on in a few months and I'll tell you about everything I screwed up onboarding them. but we're not there yet.
All right. Do you want to tell us the pitch for Optimize Cyber? So if somebody's listening today and they might require your services, who is your ideal customer? What are they looking for? And how do they find you?
Absolutely. Our mission is to share cyber risk knowledge with business leaders and owners. A lot of folks I talk to say this keeps them up at night, and it shouldn't. This is a very manageable risk. All the things Carrie just grilled me on are much bigger risks to the company, bad hires and running, operating poorly and things like that. Those are much bigger risks than cyber attacks. But everyone tells me that one of the biggest concerns they have is cyber attacks. If you don't know where to start, or if you've done some security but don't really have a strategy behind it or want to see how you're doing, those are really where we operate best. This will not be a ones and zeros. This will not be a technology and coding conversation, and it's not pass fail. We speak business executive and we make things comprehensible for a non-technical audience to help you manage and prevent as many cyber attacks as possible. If you want to get in touch with us, optimizecyber.com is the easiest. Carrie gave me a 2-hour SLA. So if you reach out via the website, I'll get back to you in 2 hours.
Thank you very much, Matt. I really appreciate you coming on and telling us a little bit about how you're building and growing Optimize Cyber. Any last thoughts that you'd like to leave us with today?
One last thought. When people hear cybersecurity, they think it's expensive. There's a lot of free things you can be doing today as a business or business owner, business executive, that can drastically reduce the likelihood of losing money to a cyber attack. So don't worry about, hey, we don't really have the budget for this. There's a lot of free things you can be doing today. And we'd love to meet you where you are in your journey. So that's the last thing I'll put out. Don't think you need to have tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars set aside to secure your company. There's a lot of free things you can do today.
What do you think the most important free thing?
Where do you bank is the most important thing that you can do for free. You need to have a relationship with a bank where you know them, they know you. You've gone in and set up some offline processes. You've set limits around your ACHs. You've turned off international wires or limited wires to the extent you can. And then put in notification settings. So if money leaves the account, you get a text message for when the day happens that fraudulent money leaves the account. You can get on it quickly because a murder case, it's the first 48 hours. And you're going to be in a much better situation if you can get on this quickly. Most important thing you can do as a business leader is tighten up the processes and how you bank with your credit union or regional bank. And obviously, those are free to set up with your bank. You just need to spend the time to do it.
All right. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us today, Matt. I really appreciate it. And if you'd like to get in touch with Matt, you'll find all of his information in the show notes. So thanks again, Matt. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you, Carrie. You too.
You've been listening to Win with Richardson and Richardson. What's important now? We're so glad you've joined us and know you're one step closer to winning big in your business too. We'd love to connect with you outside of the show. If you have any questions or comments, please reach out to connect@rnr.consulting. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast so you'll easily know when new episodes are available. Until next time, you can win, and we're here to help.